Hi, everybody. This is Heidi with Dental Services Group, and today we're sitting down with Dr. Mike Maroon. How are you doing?
Doing great. I guess as great as someone can be when they can't work and they have to be at home. So I guess I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Everybody doing good where you are?
Yeah. Everybody's safe. Everybody's doing good. I'll just give a quick intro. I know you're kind of doing lots of podcasts and you're everywhere right now, and many, many people know who you are. But for those in the world who do not, you've been practicing for more than 25 years. You've been enhancing smiles and changing people's lives. And you've been involved with so many different associations and organizations and published a gazillion articles. And currently you're in private practice still and the director of laboratory services at SmileSource. Did I miss anything? I mean, I know there's just a ton.
That's all well and good. But I think the thing that people really just need to know is that I am a full-time practicing dentist. I have two dental practices in Connecticut. And presently, just like everyone else or a lot of people around the country, both of them are shut down. I'm living through the same exact experiences that everyone else is living through.
Sure. Yeah. How are you navigating it in private practice with your businesses?
My internet connection, I think there's a lot of people online. So can you repeat the question, please, Heidi? I'm sorry.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. How are you navigating this through with having two private practices with your staff and patients and the whole gamut?
Well, when things first started getting serious around here, we could see it kind of happening in New York City and Connecticut. A lot of people who live in Connecticut, even in my area, which is about 90-something miles from New York City, we have a lot of people who live in our area who commute back and forth via the train to the city. And so once the numbers started to climb in New York City, we started seeing an influx of the disease into Connecticut as well. And once those numbers started happening, it seemed like the governors of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, they were all kind of in concert with one another as far as the laws and the executive orders and stay-at-home warnings and things like that. And so we could kind of see what was coming down the pike for us. And when the seriousness of it started being broadcast, we came in on Monday, March 16th to begin a full work week because we weren't issued a stay-at-home order until later on that week.
Sure.
And so we came in expecting, business as usual and everything was going to be fine. And then when I came in, the staff were basically very nervous, and I could tell that they were very nervous. So I brought everybody into our meeting room and I asked them, how you guys doing? How you holding up? What do you guys think of everything that's happening? And just basically listened to what they had to say. And most of them had concerns. I know that there was a lot of information coming out about aerosols and could that be a potential route for infection. And so, many of my team members have children, young children, sure. And they're very concerned about bringing something home to them. And so after listening to their concerns, we just decided to make a decision to shut down the practices to emergency only. And it just so happened that same night, the ADA issued their guidelines on being open for emergencies only as well. And up until that point, I think there were only a couple of states. California, I think, was one of them. Washington State.
Yes, California
and Oregon
was one.
Were the only ones who had already. Yeah, you guys had issued emergency only dental care. So Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania kind of followed suit after that. And so we saw what was happening and then we made the decision real quick. So fortunately for me, I had a little bit of money put aside. So I told the team, look, I'm going to average out your hours for this pay period. I'm going to pay you until March 31st, but I'm also going to release you and lay you off so that you can start collecting unemployment. I have no idea what laws are going to be passed. And this all happened before all of the CARES Act came out and the FMLA Act came out and the PPE or PPPL Act came out.
Sure.
There's so many different things happening right now. It's hard to keep track of them. So, but for me, you know, I knew that we weren't going to be business as usual. And so I tried to be honest with them and say, look, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to regroup. We're just going to shut down for a couple of weeks. That's what the government is recommending. We'll plan on coming back April 1st. And I'll pay you till March 31st. But just in case, I'm going to give you unemployment notices so that if we can't come back on April 1st, that you guys will be prepared. So in that interim, what happened was Connecticut shut down until April 22nd. Now the government just issued another statement yesterday suggesting that everybody stay closed until April 30th. So, you know, I know that Connecticut's going to change their recommendations to kind of be the same as the government, and it may end up being further. But I think what I did was, and something that I hope everybody else did, was I was proactive. I had a conversation with the team, listened to what they had to say, because we are like family, and I'm sure you guys you guys must have done the same thing.
Yeah, we're the same thing. We were very proactive about it as well. And, you know, the main concern is the safety of your people, the health and the safety of your people. And it sounds like you were super proactive, and that made all the difference because you kind of had the jump start as things started coming out more and more.
Yeah, and I made sure that they understood that if any of them had any concerns whatsoever about their safety, that they didn't have to come in. You know, I'm not forcing them to come in. I'm not forcing them to work. If you want to come in and, you know, if you're stuck home with kids, sometimes you need to go somewhere and recapture your sanity. If you just want to come in and hang out and just recapture your sanity and, you know, shoot the crap, you know, we'll do that, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that was a relief for a lot of them. You know, right away what happened was my hygienists were very scared, and they're like, I don't really want to do anything until we find out about the aerosols, especially with Cavitrons and things like that. And I said, I totally understand. My assistants were a little braver. And I think it's because they're not, even though they're in close contact, they're not like right in the field of action, like a hygienist or a dentist would be. So I think they, you know, and they felt like we were doing what we needed to do as far as infection control and things like that. So I think they were a little bit more understanding at that point. However, since then, with all of the things that people are seeing on the media, I think that, you know, they're becoming a little bit more scared. And as well, it's starting to hit home where some of our team have no people who either are infected with the virus or have died from the virus. And so I think that's hit home more than anything. And so, again, I want to be sensitive to their concerns. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, for our listeners, our internet connection, just because so many people are utilizing different platforms to record, and with the internet and everybody being home, it is a little spotty with our sound, but just bear with us, please. So yeah, with it hitting home, I mean, that definitely affects things more. How have you stayed connected, you know, with your team and during this time, and just being a comfort, and I'm sure just a voice of wisdom and calmness of guiding your, because it is a family, like you said, you know?
So you bring up a good point. How do we stay connected? I have a Zoom account. We're doing virtual meetings. So we had a virtual meeting last week. We're doing another one tomorrow with everybody on the team. And what I did last week was everybody checked in. They told us how they were doing, how everything's going with their family, their kids, all that stuff. And then I kind of gave them a guideline on what they should be looking at as far as controlling their personal expenses at home. You know, so for example, call your mortgage companies, call your credit card companies, call your cable and internet and your cell phone companies, and ask them for some type of relief. Can you postpone payments for a few months? Can you defer payments? Can you do this? Can you do that? So just trying to get them to understand that they need to cut down on their expenses and kind of keep a lot of cash on hand quickly. Yeah. So just trying to give them a little bit of guidance on that.
Yeah, that's really smart. That's really smart to navigate in uncharted waters. I mean, none of us have really had to think about any of this before. And so that's really, really smart.
And the other thing I wanted them to know was I was laying them off because of the crisis, not because I'm going out of business. You know, I want to open up. I want to hire everybody back. I want everything to go back to where it was. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to, you know, let them know that we're going to try and get back to where we are as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the whole nation feels that way. And in our industry, we're ready to go. I mean, we're ready to go when the nation's back up and ready to go. But again, you know, just wanting to keep everybody safe and healthy. How do you think this is going to affect dentistry in the immediate as well as the future of dentistry?
I think a lot of that's going to depend on what people are hearing from the media. And then I think the other part of it's going to be what dentists think the potential spread of the disease via aerosolization is. And so, unfortunately, that's right now it's a lot of hearsay, and we're going to have to wait for a little bit of research to be done. In the meantime, you know, there are things we can do to take a little bit of extra precaution, face shields. I think, you know, masks are going to be a consideration that we're going to have to think about. Disposable gowns, infection control, all of that is going to change a little bit. The only thing is I don't want to see us going overboard either, you know, to like setting up these special isolation units where, you know, you have to have UV light and HEPA filtration and all this other stuff. I don't necessarily think we have to go overboard like that yet. Let's everybody take a deep breath. Let's recover. Let's figure out what's going on. Base it on research, and then we can move forward. I think people are going to want to get out of their homes when this is all over. And I think they're going to want to try and go back to normal, whatever that is. The thing that I think dentists need to consider is everybody going to be employed once again at the same time when this is all over? And if they aren't, and you have an insurance-based practice, you know, are you going to be bringing in the same clients as you were before? So the numbers may decrease a little based on where you are in the country, you know, who the employers are, how many people they're bringing back, how quickly the economy can ramp up. So those are the questions that I would start considering. And then have an alternate game plan in place. Just like when the housing market crashed, when people lost all those jobs, that's when you started seeing a lot of dental plans, in-office dental plans start becoming, routine. And so you may want to consider marketing that type of thing when the practice does come back to normal.
Sure. And it will. I mean, it's going to come back to normal, and it may be a new normal or a normal with, a time of ramp up, but we are going to come back. I know that for sure. We definitely will.
And I know some people in some states are doing emergency care. And I think, what they really need to do, like if you're doing emergency care and somebody needs a crown or something, we're talking to DSG Labs here. You know, I'm sure your production has changed over because of the crisis. So my suggestion would be, if you're used to using a particular lab, to just place a phone call or send an email and just see what the production time would be. Don't promise somebody something that you can't deliver. Just say, you know, everybody's affected by this. I will contact the lab, and then as soon as we get the case back, we'll let you know and we'll put that in. It may end up being after the, you know, the shutdown period's over, or it may be before then. It all depends on when we get the case back. Would you agree on that advice, Heidi?
Absolutely. I mean, we are open as a network. Our turnaround times may be adjusted, but we are open and we're utilizing many laboratories within the network. We may have, you know, some where we've had to kind of shift shifts, or, you know, maybe larger labs or smaller laboratories, just depending on the size and what those, you know, the 10 people recommendations and working in teams and that sort of thing. But yes, I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah. And so to my colleagues out there who are listening, you know, my suggestion would be to make it easy on your labs as far as the turnaround times are concerned.
Cut them some
slack. I mean, seriously, if you think about it, I mean, think about all the craziness that's happened in our own businesses. You can imagine what's happened in the lab business because they're dealing with everybody. And not everybody is shutting at the same time. It's kind of like you're, you know, it's happening in zones around the country. And so, you know, they're trying to keep some businesses open and deal with the businesses who are shut down, who need their services. So cut them some slack. I mean, we're all in this together, and, you know, I don't think anybody's doing the same production numbers they were doing 2 months ago. So, you know, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. Just take it easy.
It is what it is, right? It definitely is. And I think in dentistry, we're used to pivoting and we're used to having to come up with solutions for difficult cases or things that we haven't seen before. And so this isn't anything new. It's a different circumstance, but it's nothing new. We're always having to navigate that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, the interesting thing is this isn't a personal financial crisis where one practice is going through it by themselves. This is like every business, every industry around the world, all happening at the same time. So it's affecting the entire world economy. And you can, if you can think exponentially in a global sense, I know DSG does stuff globally as well. And so from a global sense, you know, listening to you talking about shifting production, the fact that you have those global sites will help us get back to normal quicker, because you can shift production to different areas and make sure that, you know, we're getting the same quality that we're used to from the lab. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I like doing business with DSG, is because I know that I get that local lab feel, but I have a global lab as well that can support me, you know, in times like this or based on whatever my needs are.
Absolutely. And I know that one of the things that you utilize in your practice is a scanner and doing digital dentistry. And we've already seen a huge shift going towards digital, and that's really where the future of dentistry is going. Do you think that by this global pandemic happening, we're going to see even more of that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can, just from a logical standpoint, the infection control advantage of being digital is second to none. I mean, you're not sending models and bite registrations through the mail anymore. You're basically taking a digital bite, a digital capture of the restoration or the prep area, and you're sending it to the lab, and they're working in the digital arena. And so I think that's you're going to see more of an explosion. You're going to see more acceptance of that. And I think that's better for the industry overall. There aren't too many things that you really still need an impression for. And maybe this will spur dentistry to go 100% digital. You know, somebody will figure out how to do digital dentures with no impressions and all that stuff. And we'll all be grateful for it. So yeah, I think the ingenuity that's coming out of this right now through the crisis phase is great, because I think in times of dire need, the human ingenuity is exponential, because you have all these minds working on the same thing. And so it's the power of the mastermind. And I think the same thing is going to happen when, you know, this crisis is over. Each industry is going to take what they've learned from the crisis and apply it to the portions of their industry that can make that leap. And so I really believe that the digital arena is going to be huge. And I like the fact that DSG was already looking at that arena and had the foresight to create the Digital Experience Center. And you know, most of their labs are, I think every lab is digital right now, is accepting digital impressions. So yeah, and that was the long answer, but the short answer is yes.
So that's good. That's good. We like the long answer, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So we are just in an unprecedented time, and I think that if we get through, we're going to get through it together. We're going to get through it better. like you said, as things are in a hard time, people always look for a way to engineer new things, think about things in a different way. And even though it's a hard time for everybody, we are going to come out stronger and we're going to see fresh things come out of this for sure.
Yeah. One thing I would like to urge my colleagues is if you are only seeing emergencies only for whatever period, and you have extra PPE, masks, gloves, things like that, I know that the hospitals are asking for donations, and I know that there's some doctors out there, well, you know, I bought all this stuff and I prepared for it and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Why should I donate this and donate that? My answer to that is because it's the right thing to do. I mean, it's a human thing to do. We're all in a crisis together. Just keep what you need, give the rest away. It'll come back to you tenfold. You don't have to broadcast it. Just do it out of the kindness of your heart. And, you know, you never know. You may end up saving somebody's life because you gave somebody a pair of gloves or a box of masks. And, you know, how much is that box of masks and that box of gloves really cost you? You know, $20, $30, $40, who cares? Yeah. What's the value of a human life? Just give, you know, we're not on the front lines. You know, our brethren in the medical field are, and let's do all we can to support them in any way that we can. And so, you know, don't hoard supplies, just, you know, bite the bullet, give it away. We can always buy some stuff down the road in the future. It's not gonna hurt us, but the supplies we donate could potentially save someone's life. That's my soapbox preach for.
That's a really good point. I mean, that's a really great point. We have on our DSG website, we're making it available for people to donate and do it to where it's like a no contact donation. And I also saw an email come through today from the Greater New York and asking, you know, as the Javits Center has been turned into a makeshift hospital, whoever thought that they would see that? I, after doing the Greater New York for so many years, I never thought that I would see that, but unfortunately we are. And so that PPE is going to be so important. So I love that you made that point, you know, the level of humanity.
Yeah. And people are asking, well, why are they using so much? Well, think about it. Every patient they have to come in contact with, they have to change. They can't just go, you know, like you can't walk from one room to another without changing gloves or masks. So basically they're doing the same thing in the hospital. So they have to constantly unglove, reglove, put new masks on, things like that. And the amount of patients that they're seeing is overwhelming, and that's why the PPE is getting used up. So, you know, just now's not the time to be that type of person. Just, you know, do what you can, give some stuff away, be grateful that, you know, if you're healthy, be grateful that you and your family are healthy, and just, you know, pray for the people who are on the front lines.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Is there anything else that you'd like to touch on or discuss?
One other thing that I would like to say is a lot of people have not been through financial stress, and they're going to be stressed financially in this situation. So my suggestion would be look after yourself, take a deep breath, take some time, you know, find a place where you could just kind of like, you know, be with your own thoughts, and don't panic. I mean, here's the worst thing that happens is this goes on for 2 or 3 months, okay? And if you don't pay your bills for 3 months, nobody's going to come to your house and kick you out. Nobody's going to come and take your car. Nobody's going to come and turn off your electricity during this crisis. So the worst thing that happens is you can't pay anything. Okay? I know you're going to be stressed out because it is a stressful time. But this is the opportunity for you to reach out to other people who potentially can help you. And the federal government has a lot of programs in place to give small businesses money to kind of get through this crisis. So I would urge you to take advantage of those opportunities. Don't think that I'm not going to be approved for it. The worst thing that people can say to you is no. So again, look at your expenses, call your mortgage company, call your car company, call your cable, your landlord, and anybody that you owe money to, and just ask them, you know, can you extend the payments a month or two until we're all through this? The worst thing that they're going to say is no. Okay. The last thing I want to leave you with is this. You already have the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. It's called life. Okay? And challenges in life that you overcome make you stronger, make you a better person. The worst thing that you could do in a difficult situation is consider taking your life. Please do not do that. Your family, your friends, you are an important person to a lot of people. So if anybody has any questions or concerns or feels that they're in the depths of despair, that they need somebody to talk to and they don't have anyone to talk to, my cell phone number is 860-559-8800, 860-559-8800. You can call me. I will listen. I'm not going to judge you. You can tell me your troubles, tell me your problems. I will, you know, do whatever I can in my power to either help you in your situation or put you in contact with people who can help you. And so that's the last thing I want to say. I mean, it's a crisis. It's stressful for everybody. And I want us all to get through it.
Yeah, and we will. You know, Dr. Maroon, I've heard so many great things about you over the years, and you're just proving them all today, honestly. I mean, your level of humanity and kindness and your thoughts and your wisdom, thank you so much for sharing it today. I really appreciate it. And I know we do at DSG and within the dental community. You're definitely a treasure. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Heidi, for allowing me to share my thoughts.
You got it. We'll talk soon.